Guy, here we are. Now we got AAU tryouts coming up, or
sport
club tryouts. We got to help the parents. You know, your children, you know, are in the various select club sports, and I've had kids, you know, primarily in basketball. What are some of the things that you've noticed about the process, you know, of finding out the best AAU program that you can sign your son or daughter up for, or even, you know, a club sport?
Well, I've been through the club volleyball, and I'm involved in the select basketball. And the number one thing that I see is that there are hidden politics that you're not aware of. So I would suggest, hindsight being what it is, that you really get a read on where you're going to try out.
Excuse me. Did you say politics in youth sports?
I did. I used the P word.
Can somebody call Homeland Security, please? is that not unpatriotic? I mean, help me. I never heard this before. Politics in sports?
Meaning that people involved coaching some of these teams, not all of them, but some, have other motivations other than helping the kids. Okay, they're either financial or, you know, they're trying to get more playing time for their kids or favorite kids. And that becomes a distraction. It becomes a negative. Becomes a rumor, turns into fact, people talking about it. It drives good kids away from the program. It brings kids into the program under false pretenses. And so they get into the program and they're going, oh my gosh, now I see what's going on. So it's probably a good idea to be as informed about the coaches as possible. You know what you want out of the program, I would think would be one of the main things. And how does a coach teach? Mm-hmm. Does he demonstrate like you and your esteemed father, big proponents of that, or do they stand on the sidelines and direct? That's big. I want a kid to be able to be taught mm-hmm. how to play a sport better.
Well, and that segues into how do you find out about where you can sign up or try out your son or daughter, unbeknownst to them, by the way.
Right.
Okay. Again, we're in our adult mind, and we believe that our son or daughter can play at a high level. You know, and of course, you know, the other thing that we are thinking about is there are colleges out there that will be attending these tournaments that are in Las Vegas. Honey, you want to go to Las Vegas? There's a basketball tournament going there, and that's during the day, and we can have fun at night or down to Florida. Disney World is holding this tournament, this fifth grade national tournament will be there for 8 days. So where do you find out about these, do you think? I mean, what are some of the things that you've noticed in the past when you read the newspaper? You know, they have that weekend calendar and schedule.
Really have gotten confused by those calendars. I mean, you really don't know what you're reading, if it's true or not. You don't get an idea or sense of what the coaching is like.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to ask parents who've been through this before. Number one, people that I believe and I think have good intentions. I get their input on where their kids maybe played to get kind of an idea where I might want to have my kids play.
So word of mouth, newspapers,
word of mouth, absolutely.
Is a possibility. And then also there are training centers that sponsor teams, especially here in the Northwest. We've got two or three local organizations that train players year-round and then also sponsor teams in the spring and summer programs, beginning in the elementary all the way through high school. Have you found that true in volleyball and other sports, that this type of information is available as well?
I think it is, but again, the way that I've approached it is mostly by word of mouth, and I believe that that's the best way to go about it. Talk to somebody who knows something that's accurate.
All right. Well, I love this part, okay, because what it does for me and hopefully for our listeners is make them aware of the red alert. And the red alert is this, okay? I know you're looking at me and you're going, what is he doing here? Well, I really believe that parents need to have a checklist, okay, when making a decision as to whether or not they want to sign their son or daughter up for a select team program. And so I want to go through this, all right? We won't belabor any points. We'll expound on them and then have our listeners, if they want to phone in, also give some of their ideas. And we want them to understand this is for our listeners, this is for you. Okay, this is to help you in your relationship with your son or daughter in their activity. And also, we want coaches out there that are listening to our program to understand that we're trying to help you in that model to follow, that you're a teacher first and a coach second, like Guy was talking about before. So the 10 checkpoints that I really emphasize when I speak to parents and I do symposiums for parents and then also coaching clinics is the first one is how did you find out about the program? And so I believe, you know, like you said, word of mouth, it is political, so you want to make sure that you're not setting your son or daughter up to fail.
Absolutely.
And then you want to make a decision as, you know, why did you choose this particular activity? You know, is it because a friend's kids are signed up? They have an interest in the activity. There's an older sibling that participated in the same program before. Or you just wanted them to do something to preoccupy their summer so you don't have to worry about them when they have all that free time and you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Sure does.
Okay. All right. Now, once we have made a value decision as to whether or not this is the right program for their son or daughter, all right, we're talking about grades 5, you know, all the way through high school, I think it's really important to find out what the qualifications are for the program's operation. One is, you know, do the instructors, coaches attend a certification and/or youth sports training program? I think that's really paramount. I'm not a big AAU basketball fan, I'm going to tell you right now. All right, 99% of the coaches, there are no background checks made on them. All right, it's not required. Where it is for high school, it is for middle school and elementary school. These are teachers of young people, and they are coaches. But why should they not come under, all right, the auspices and the direction of the state of Washington when it comes to youth sports activities? And I'm talking about AAU basketball now. So I would require, you know, information regarding a team that's being put together, what the background is on that individual and the individuals associated with it. That's one thing. The other thing I want to know is what experience in teaching, you know, and coaching youth sports does this person have? I hear he's a great guy. I hear he played the game back in the day. And he is financially independent and is capable of putting his own team together. But does he know how to teach? That's what I want to know. Is he positive in his model? Can he take my son or daughter and develop the necessary skills over the spring and summer so that they can be successful when they come back to the team? Or is this just going to be one of these run and gun, you know, no defense, we just roll the ball out there, we're really not learning anything, but we're going to open it up.
We're practicing bad habits.
Thank you. And how many habits are there in basketball, Guy?
There are two.
And what are they?
Good and bad.
That's right. And how many ways can you play the game?
Two ways. And
two ways, that's right. And what are they? The right way right. And the wrong way.
Right and wrong, yes.
That's right. And so if you dribble the ball with your head down, is that a good habit or bad habit?
Bad habit.
Is that the right way or the wrong
way?
That's the wrong way. And how many speeds are there in basketball, Guy?
There are two.
No. Okay, well, there's three, but what are your two?
Fast and slow.
Okay, there's a third one. What do you think?
Tell me.
What do you think the third one
is? Give me the newelism.
What do you think the third one is?
Medium.
That's the Honda I drive. That's wrong. Okay. It's quick.
Okay, quick.
Quick. All right. All right. You're faster than I am, but I'm quicker because you don't know when I'm going to change direction. And so with that understanding and being able to impart that wisdom, okay, that fundamental wisdom in basketball, now, okay, the kids in the spring and summer in a program can develop these disciplines and then this better understanding of the game. But it really reflects back on the coach.
Right.
Does the coach know the difference between a good habit and a bad habit, the right way from the wrong way, and being able to teach the three speeds? Quick, change of direction, fast transition, getting back on defense. Okay, slow, under control. And mm-hmm. I just think it's so important, you know, that as a parent, if you're going to spend a lot of money, you better make sure that you're investing in the right model to follow for your children.
Well, and you also would like, I would think, you want your kid to grow as a person as well. So you want the person, the coach, to teach your kid how to be a better person.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is important is before I would invest any money, I want to know if this coach is going to have a parent meeting, okay, at any time before the tryout to explain what the objective is, what the criteria is for assembling this team, so that we're going in with our eyes wide open, that we really do have an understanding of what this program is. And I think that that is so important. The other thing that comes out of that parent meeting is the team rules, you know, what the coach has regarding on-court rules and off-court behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Are the practices open? If an AAU coach of a boys or girls team says his practices are closed, all right, we have a real situation here that, for me, all right, sets off what is known as a... And I'm going to tell you what, red flag, air raid, yeah, because a bomb is about to drop, because that coach has no business whatsoever in youth sports, okay, or even a high school augmented all-star team closing his practice. There's no secrets in basketball. And all that tells me is that he is so intimidated by the presence of parents that he doesn't have, or she doesn't have, the confidence of being able to not only teach the kids, but to teach the parents so the parents can understand what is being presented as a discipline and how their son or daughter is going to improve their skills and their game through this experience. So to me, that's very important, okay? Handling playing time. I think, you know, 99% of the parents believe that when they invest money, that there's going to be a pretty good expectation on, if I'm spending $3,000 to go to two tournaments, air flight, hotel, meals, and the entry fee, then, and we're only playing 32 minutes or 40 minutes, my son or daughter better be playing at least 25. Well, if you've got a team of 10, it's going to be really tough, all right, to get 25 minutes out of each player because everybody's at a different level. And I just think that it's very, very important to understand that may not happen. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think if you're going to have practices, it's good to have 10. If you have any less than that, you know, you're not going to be able to go 5-on-5 in any group drills. You could go 4-on-4, have 8 guys, but you're really not getting the game experience. And you're right, everybody's at a different level, but I think everybody deserves a chance to prove themselves, and the fact that they've paid all this money, the coach has an obligation to play everybody as many minutes as they can. You know, break it out, split it up, because they're all there for the same purpose, to get better, and they all paid about the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing that I think is very important, because we're as a species, you know, we're with the ability to judge, and we do that very well in culture, is how does this coach present himself or herself? You know, is it in a professional manner? And by that I mean, are they dressed appropriately for teaching the kids? proper hygiene. I'm going to tell you, I had, back in the day, I had a little league coach that smoked, all right, while he was teaching us baseball.
I did too.
Okay, had a cigarette in the mouth, you know, or a cigarette in his hand, all right. And at that time, I thought he was 7 feet tall. All right, he was huge. He was tall. Plus, he had just the worst breath in the world, and I didn't know why his breath was so bad till somebody told me that, you know, he was drunk, and I didn't know what that meant. And so he would come to practice drunk. I understood that because my parents didn't drink around us when we were growing up in the house. So I didn't know what drunk meant. You know, I was just 9 years old, 10 years old. You know, my mom dropped me off at baseball practice, and so here was this model. And she never checked on this guy. And so I remember my mom, because my dad was always traveling. He was always gone. He was in meetings or scouting or whatever. And I remember my mom asking me about the baseball experience and asked me about the coach. And I said, well, he smokes an awful lot. And she goes, well, is he nice? He's always got really bad breath. He's got bad breath? How do you know that? I says, well, when he talks to us, you know, it just, you know, you want to turn away because it's just awful. And so then it was at that point that I, you know, realized that my mom had a concern about the model. And I never forgot that, because I ended up quitting baseball because I had a bad experience with this coach. And that's probably what, you know, inspired me and provided the aspirations towards wanting to go back into community and do what we're doing now. But I always tell parents, make sure you have a connection with that coach so that you make eye contact and you know who that coach is and where he comes from, so that you know it's an extension of you on the court, or if you can't make a tournament, a road trip tournament, that you have faith that he is going to chaperone and be the best model in making sure your child makes the right value decisions.
You can count on him or her to be responsible for your child's well-being.
Right. Now, the other thing is that does this coach present a positive model? All right, vis-a-vis going to practice and watching practice, how is he or she on the bench, you know, when you're watching? And these things are, I think, are really important. And it goes back again to what you said, gathering that information, talking to others, you know, mm-hmm. did you have a good experience? And I wouldn't talk to somebody whose son ended up or daughter ended up getting a Division I scholarship, you know, out of that sport, whether it was volleyball or whether it was swimming or whether it was basketball. Or baseball, playing American Legion or what have you, I'd want to talk to somebody that didn't play a lot, okay, but did have a good experience, and you saw that they got better and came back.
Because they learned a lot because they practiced against better quality players, and the coach gave good teaching, direction, demonstration, and so they actually evolved as a player.
Right. The other thing that is important in this assessment, all right, in choosing a youth sports program for the spring and summer, I believe is the coach approachable before and after practice? And by that I'm saying is, coach, can I talk to you? You know, what do we have to do better? All right, for, you know, what does my son or daughter have to do better, you know, to improve? You know, what can we do to help that?
Right.
Then the other is the coach doesn't play favorites. You know, now the nepotism that exists today in sports, in all sports,
okay, it's thick. As far as,
it's very. And is there something wrong with that? Only if it's misguided, only if it's so dominated by the minutes played is more, I'm just talking basketball now, the shot selection is more forgiving for the son or the daughter than it is for somebody else. Mistakes are allowed by the son or daughter because obviously they got to live with them. And you don't want to embarrass your son or daughter. You know, last thing you want is when you pull your son or daughter off the court because they made a mistake and they flash a dirty look at you. Because now you've got eyes behind your head and you realize that parents are looking at that and they're, you know, talking. Did you see that? Did you see that look? That she gave him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Oh, gosh. I wonder what's going on in their house. But anyway, and then, you know, that the coach does not develop a personal relationship with team members without parents present at all functions. And I think that is really important. Don't ever allow, all right, the coach to have surprise pizza parties or invite some kids over to the house without another parent or other parents also being invited, okay? It's just, it doesn't happen, all right? Not today. It doesn't happen. It just, it can't happen. And swim parties, movies, birthday celebrations, end of season party, I think are really, really important areas for parents to make sure that they have control over, and to right up front tell the coach that. If you're going to have any type of team functions, I would like to know ahead of time. The other thing is make sure that the coach understands that if he emails their child, that he CCs them.
Right.
Or emails the child or the player, all right, on the parent's web address, okay, internet address. And the reason I say that is because the I do this for myself. When I get emails from kids, all right, inquiring about practice, whatever, or they email me about something, I will send a blank copy to the parents to let them know that they emailed me. If I respond, I will send an email copy to the parents so they can see what I'm exchanging with them. I want them to know what their child is thinking, what they're going through right now. It's very, very important, because what's happening today in sports, when the kids get to about 12 or 13, here's the conversation, guy. Jimmy, how'd a practice go? I don't know. This is after practice, right? You pick them up, they're in the car. Well, did you have fun? I guess. Well, what'd you do? I don't know. Well, did you work on offense? I guess. Well, did you take any shots? I mean, did you guys scrimmage? A little. Well, why can't you talk about it? I mean, what's going on here? I'm tired. We had a hard practice. What else do you want me to say? And so therein is a problem in itself, is that kids really don't convey nor communicate about their experience on the court. Okay, so if the line of communication that a coach develops and establishes in these select programs, whatever sport it is a better connection than a parent has with the child, okay, then that coach, he isn't violating any trust or confidentiality. That coach needs to help in understanding that they're an extension of that parent, all right, figure, and can help them understand what their son or daughter is thinking or talking about or feeling at that time.
And it's hard for parents to understand that the kid is tired, like you say, fatigued, but they're also just being a teenager, not giving you enough information.
Right. In the last 10 years, it's really been interesting to me to read some of the stories in the newspapers and hear accounts on CNN regarding coaches, that youth coaches, okay, that ended up having indiscretions, you know, and taking advantage of kids.
Yes.
And so I know in probably the last 12 years, I've heard of coaches having, you know, sleepovers at a house, okay, and regardless of whether or not the individual has own family present at home. The thing that bothers me about that is that that doesn't have to be. Now, if I'm coaching my daughter and she's going to have one or two friends over, okay, then that happens through the mother, all right, my wife, you know, and that's the way it was, okay? Now, what that meant is then I had to get the vacuum cleaner out and I had to, you know, do the housework, okay? So we didn't have a lot of sleepovers, okay, because that domestic area of responsibility isn't one of my fortes, okay? And I would...
I must have learned that from you, Tom.
Well, I got better as the years went on, but I'm going to just tell you, I wasn't fond of it, and so my daughter realized that. So we didn't have many, okay? But what I'm saying is that it's very important that the kids on travel, all right, when they go to tournaments and what have you, parents should never, ever release their kids to a tournament without at least one or two parents of other kids going on the trip.
Chaperones.
You know, chaperones, thank you. It's just very, very important. That's okay. A cardinal rule, all right, in choosing a program. The next thing is we talked about the positive attitude. To me, the demeanor during the tryouts, okay, if I'm going through this process of assessment and what have you, the tryouts for AAU basketball, watch how this coach is on the sidelines. Are they really watching the kids, okay, skills as they exhibit and perform out there? Or are they talking to friends and, you know, talking on a cell phone?
Right.
Or really not engaged, okay, in that process? Because what that tells me, that's a red flag that goes up to me, because that tells me they've already predetermined who they want on the team. So you just be wasting money, all right, for nothing, signing up your son or daughter for that tryout.
I've been to tryouts like that.
Okay. Lest I forget, we've got this checklist up on our website, familysportslifetoday.com. You'll need to register, but it's free. When you register, we want to hear your feedback and learn about your experiences. So please, take the time to fill out your survey. We won't sell your email or send you spam. You will just have the chance to sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to get podcasts, and learn about upcoming seminars and basketball clinics, and even for the kids, free basketball camps. So I guess that means that we are now at the area that is called the end of the game. We thank you for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today episode, please give us a call, and we'll try to use it in a future podcast. We're at area code 206-202-6224. That's area code 206-20-COACH, C-O-A-C-H.
And remember to visit our website, familysportslifetoday.com. You can listen to this program online or subscribe and download to your iPod or other MP3 players. If you subscribe, you will automatically receive future episodes.
Gracias, merci beaucoup, affaire est tout. Thank you very much for listening.